In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came to being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
For the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I've been in pastoral ministry for 31 years, and that's the first time I've heard clapping after a scripture being read. So thank you. Thank you so much to Jelena. Thank you, Henry and Abby, for leading us in the scriptures tonight. This is just a beautiful night to be together in this place. And I hope that at the end of our time tonight, that if there's one message that you get, that would be that you are a beloved child of God. That the whole message, the whole meaning of this season is that you are deeply loved by God. I hope that somehow in the midst of all this, that would be reinforced in the depths of your soul. But I have to say that there are some things in this season that are not always of great spiritual depth, but I enjoy them anyway. We enjoy movies as a family, and one of the movies that we enjoy in this season is not known for its spiritual depth, but it's the National Lampoon Christmas Vacation, okay? Now, you know, we introduced it early, and we fast-forward some scenes, so, you know, okay, there are certain things that are not appropriate for all ages, but there's something about Clark Griswold and his over the top, his this crazed kind of compulsion for this old fashioned, in his mind, this old fashioned perfect family Christmas, this season on steroids, this over the top, this notion that somehow he can create this old fashioned family Christmas. And we find that just amusing, and it's just fun. There's also Cousin Eddie, okay? And Cousin Eddie is, anybody have a Cousin Eddie? Anybody? Okay, yeah. Well, I was going to say, probably some of you maybe aren't raising your hands because Cousin Eddie is with you tonight. But back to Clark, nothing represents this kind of desire for Christmas to max out, Christmas to wow his family, like his obsession with Christmas lights. And so there we have him, and there we have his lights, his house there. Now, most of us don't live out our obsession in that kind of an outward kind of way. But probably all of us can share with Clark one thing, and that is this season has great expectation for us. This season, there's something about it that we all want more in this season. There's something about it. It's the favorite time of the year. It's the number one holiday by far. And we all have memories, we all have experiences, we all have expectations, we want more out of this. But in our culture, often that more is seen simply in the material things. There's more presents, more purchases, more more experiences, more vacations, more just more calories. There's more, but the thing is that we know on an intellectual level that more purchases, more gifts, more experiences, more calories will not give us the more that we're really longing for. The more that we're really longing for is something that's deeper than that. Carl Menninger, the great psychologist, said it this way, and I paraphrase, that every human being that he has met, every human being that he has experienced, although we clean up well, although we present well, although we walk through life and often presenting ourselves as people without needs, you say hi to someone, how you doing? And we say, fine, great, couldn't be better. But he says that all of us, at some level, are wearing an invisible T-shirt that says, will somebody please love me for who I am? Love me not for what I do or can do. Love me not for my appearance. Love me not for what I earn. Love me not for all the external things, but love me, warts and all. That everyone at some level wants that deeply within, to be loved for who we are, warts and all. And that's really, as we read John's gospel, Jesus is coming into the world where people are longing for something more, something deeper, something to quench their thirst, to address the hunger within for more in that sense of being loved. And that Jesus came into such a world not in the Griswold grandiose, not in the power outing, grid downing, neighbor blinding, a frenzy of photons, but Jesus came in the gentle glow of God's glory, filled with grace and truth. That Jesus didn't come to wow us. If he had come to wow us, he would have been born the son of Caesar. He would have been born in the palace in Rome, but he was born in this backwater place of the empire to peasants, to a province that nobody wanted to go to. It was in the edge of the world, in a village that nothing had happened of any importance for 1,000 years. 1,000 years before, there was a shepherd boy named David that was a big fish in a small pond. But nothing of note had ever happened in that town for 1,000 years. And he came to that place and was born in a stable. Not in amongst the big people and the known people and the impressive people, the Kardashians of his age. He was born, and who came but shepherds? Who came but magi? Who came but the outcasts of the world? That he came not to wow us, but to love us. And he came with this plan to love one person at a time, one by one by one by one. Madison Avenue would never have approved that marketing plan. They never would approve, because this world wants a wow. But the thing about the wow is that a wow in just a few days leaves us wanting more wow, something more. It becomes so yesterday. But what Jesus came to do is to love us unconditionally, for us to know the depths of what it is to be the very children of God. He came to love us. And he came to people like shepherds. He came to people like Mary and Joseph. He came to people as he grew up, like Mary Magdalene, who had a difficult past. He came and he chose 12 ordinary Galilean guys to carry his message to the world. That's not much of a marketing plan. But it is a plan for transformation. Because this is what happens when love takes root in a heart. When we know we are loved, when we know that God loves us in the depths of our being, when we know we are loved, that love begins to change the very way we see ourselves and see the world. And that love is what we hunger for. That's what the world hungers for. That's what the healing of the world is about. The transformation of the cosmos. That's what we celebrate in simple ways. In the breaking of bread and dipping it into the cup tonight. That's about God's love for you and for all. In the sharing of candlelight, one candle at a time. You know, a candle is not a very impressive thing. It's not a blaze of photons. It's not a blaze of glory. But we're going to see in just a few moments what happens when one candle lights another and lights another and lights another. When we are loved and we share that love of God, when we share that love one by one by one, the world is transformed. So, beloved, I don't know what your night will be like or your morning will be like. I don't know if there's going to be a wow under the tree. I hope there is. But whether or not you open the Avengers Lego set or not, or that interactive new lightsaber system thing, you know, or whether it's Elsa's Winter Palace or that singing shark puppet thing. If whatever it is, I hope that that's not the only gift you open. My hope and prayer for us all is we open the gift of God's unconditional love, that deep love of Jesus, that love that calls us the very children of God, the love that addresses that timeless question, will somebody love me for who I am? Not what I do, not what I earn, what I look like, not about all those things. Will somebody love me, warts and all? The answer to that question is in the Christmas story. For the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Unto you is born this day a Savior. Unto you, unto you, unto you, unto you, unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Love's pure light. May it shine. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, for these moments in this place, may they be moments that are eternal. May they be moments that we, at the depth of our being, know that we're loved, that we're claimed by you, and that you draw us into the soft candlelight of your grace, and illumine our souls in the breaking of the bread and the dipping into the fruit of the vine, O God, as we experience Holy Communion together. May you come into our hearts afresh and be born in us anew. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.